We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get hefty, ultra-strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Hooray, everybody. What is going on? Happy Sunday evening to each and every one of you out there. This is the Bengals Show presented by the Riverfront. I am your host, Joe Farsing. Alongside me is my good friend, and I hope yours, always a one of our favorites here at the Riverfront, is Sidney Price. Sid, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We have a win to talk about, so I'm doing really, really well. Thank goodness. It's this win looked a lot different than the one against the Rams, and we'll get into that. But the offense looked a lot like the offense that we were hoping to see from game one. Burrow had a really, really nice looking game. Chase had a fantastic game after he pretty much made it very clear that he's always fucking open. He was pretty much always open this game. So awesome to see. Running game did stuff, not a whole lot, but they did stuff. So before we get into it, real quickly here, we would always want to thank our good friends over at SeatGeek. Again, download their app. First purchase, use the promo code Riverfront for $20 off your first order. SeatGeek is the easiest to use ticketing platform. Again, code word Riverfront, $20 off your first purchase. Let's get into it here. Bengals won 34-20. Joe Burrow, let me pull him up here. Hope I get the right side. There we go. 36 for 46, 317 yards, 3 touchdowns, 6.89 yards per attempt. He was at 4.82 coming into the game, which was historically low for someone through 4 games throwing that many passes. They actually were able to open up and hit the deep ball. He hit Chase on the 60. Goodness here. I probably should have had it. 63 yards. There we go. I knew it was six. I was going to say 65. That wasn't right. 63 yard pass over the top. It was by air yards. It was the longest pass he's thrown in his career. 49.5. And that tells you right there that Cap is doing better. He was able to push the ball way downfield. What are your thoughts on how he looked just in general today? Can you hear me?
So Joe Burrow, thought we were getting coming. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. You're delayed.
Okay. Sorry about that. But he looked like the Joe Burrow of old, the Joe Burrow we thought we were getting coming into this year. And he was able to escape. He was able to run for a first down there. He looked a whole lot better and a whole lot healthier in like that half wasn't even an issue. So it looked very good.
yeah, there were several times when he had pressure in his face, because again, that not going to get into it too much today. We'll get into that later in the week on our regular show. Offensive line was not great again, but there were several times when he had pressure quick and was escaping and moving around, navigating like Joe Burrow does. His first touchdown pass to Chase, he was really flushed or just kind of just was able to slide to his right, buy himself enough time for Chase to come open in the back of the end zone. There was another play. It was on third down. He escaped out of almost three different sacks, ended up getting absolutely drilled in the chest, but he was able, I don't know if it's more if he's healthy or he trusted his calf more than he's been able to so far this year. So I was hoping that would be able to show up by the bye week. Like if not this week, then next week in Seattle, all the reports said that he's been moving better and things like that. But yeah, he looked like regular Joe Burrow. He could have run the ball a few more times, but I think he was playing as loose as he could while still trying to be smart. Yeah, he had 4 carries for 7 yards. Like one of them was kind of like a 5-yard sack where there was miscommunication with Travion Williams when Travion Williams forgot he was supposed to get the ball. I don't think I've ever seen Burrow that pissed on the field as he was with Williams. I mean, he immediately started pointing to his head, you know, screaming at him on the field because he missed the check that, you know, that it was a handoff. I mean, he turned like he was getting into pass protection. So, again, I'm not going to say Joe Burrow is back to Jackpot Joey or back to, you know, Joe Shiesty, but this looked reminiscent. I mean, he had one interception. Interception was not his fault. Irwin got tangled up right at his break, right when Burrow was throwing. Okay. I thought they could have thrown a flag there for illegal contact. It looked like the defender gave him a head check. Either way, you know, questionable, but Burrow ended up throwing the ball right to the defense because Irwin had fallen down. It's fun to see. I mean, that's the offense that we were hoping for. Even without T. Higgins, they really didn't miss a beat. What are your thoughts on Trent and Irwin for tonight?
Trent Irwin is a guy, I guess. He had several early in the game, and he made some good catches late too, but as we got later into the game, it seemed more like that was going to be Chase, as it normally is. And do well out there punt returning in the absence of Charlie, you know. So I think he did a good job just being a fill-in guy. But yeah, I thought he did a good job out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's limited in terms of what his ceiling is. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to make these huge, gigantic plays, you know, being able to like shake defenders and things like that in the open field. But he's a guy, anytime that he's called on, every time his number is called and he's got to play a big role, he absolutely just shows up and absolute useful guy on the roster. I was selfishly hoping to see Yoshi get the ball a little more just because I think he's a little bit more capable of doing things downfield, especially with T out. Yoshi's the only guy who really has the frame, the size to be able to high point the ball. A lot of the things that you can run with T, you'd be able to run with Yoshi and still, you know, and still be able to complete some of those plays. But as a whole, I mean, Trent Irwin, 8 catches, 60 yards, and he had 4 punt returns for 68 yards. Not too shabby. I mean, that's 17, quick public high school math. Yeah, 17 yards per return. I mean, that's right around what they were getting with Chuck Sizzle. So, happy to a team effort on offense. Defense, we'll get into that a little bit here, but that's another story. Tim Daniel asks our compatriot here, the host of Late Night Reds, who everyone who's here watching should be watching at 9 o'clock when Tim and Ben come on. What color jersey should he get his Dax Hill jersey? All of them. I just say go out and get one of each. Orange. Dax Hill's fun to watch. He is absolutely fun to watch. His speed and just Absolutely. Like, he has instincts that I don't think we weren't really too sure what we were going to get this year because of, again, you know, you're losing your two starting safeties. Those guys are the absolute backbone of your defense. And he struggled in what little playing time he had last year. Sydney will be right back. She's having issues with her device here. So yeah, we really weren't too sure what we were going to get him. We knew he had the athletic ability, but he's come in and it doesn't look like that. At least him replacing Bates hasn't missed too much. We talked about the sack that he had last week. There we are. We back on. You back? A little better connection?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was having issues on my computer.
No worries. Dex Hill had half of a sack on first sack of the game. You know, got credited with half the sack with Trey Hendrickson. Hendrickson had another hell of a game as well. 2.5 sacks. They need more than just him rushing the passer consistently. And again, we'll get into the defense a little bit here, but I think you should get all the Dax Hill jerseys. Brad says Chase had a hell of a game. Burrow looked a lot better. Yeah, again, Chase, 15 catches, 192 yards, 3 touchdowns. Set the Bengals team record for catches in a game. Carl Pickens had the record of 13. Greatest thing about Pickens' 13 reception game is it was against the beloved Steelers in 1998. Game. I think they actually did win, which Bengals beating the Steelers in the 90s was an absolute rarity and something to cherish. So my question is, yeah, move over Carl Pickens. He's kind of a forgotten guy in Bengals lore. He's always was kind of like a prickly, basically, I mean, he was an asshole. I mean, he was never pleasant to media. I mean, he had a lot of issues with the Bengals ownership in his, while he was there. And I absolutely get it. He was on some terrible, terrible teams. I mean, they did a terrible job trying to build around. They had a decent little spell there when Corey Dillon came in. It was him, Darnay Scott, and I mean, Jeff Blake had his limitations as a passer, but I mean he had some decent seasons, and they couldn't put a team together to even finish over 500 except for one. So I get it, but Carl Pickens is kind of a forgotten guy in Bengals lore, the bridge guy from the Super Bowl teams until the Johnson and Hushmanzada thing. Talking about the fun offense, we do have to kind of talk a little bit about the defense here. On the good side, 2 interceptions, 1 fumble recovery. Cam Taylor-Britt had a pick six. Nice bounce back game. He did not look very good the last couple weeks. He hasn't looked very good most of the year, but especially the last few weeks. 3 sacks, 2.5 by Trey. I put BJ Hill because I'm an idiot and I don't understand how to read stat sheets and totally forgot about it. That was, as we just said, Dax Hill. Anything else that I'm missing on the good side to talk about on the defense?
So what really stood out to me was how good DJ Turner looked, how good he looked. Now, he got burnt a little bit, but that's going to happen because he's a rookie. But he did look really good out there in the absence of Cheeto. And, he looks like he's going to be another good graphic guy in our defensive backfield. He looked very good today. I mean, we had several almost picks. We had the one by Hendrickson that he should have gotten on that screen, and then Logan Wilson just batting that one up, and I'm going to just keep fumbling with it, and then it's going to hit the ground. But it was a good day overall by the defense. Honestly, could have been better, but, it was better than what we've seen here lately. So I'll take it.
It was up and down. I mean, they started the game looking really good. They had back-to-back 3 and outs. Bengals went down and got a quick 10-point lead. But then they reverted to a lot of the crap that they had. I mean, right after the Bengals scored a touchdown, go up 10-0, they immediately drive down, 9 plays, 75 yards for a touchdown. Bengals go 3 and out, lose 4 yards. They go down, score a touchdown, and they go up 14-10. So, it's up and down. We're going to go to the bad. Their run defense has been absolutely awful. I'm not sure what the fix is. Reader has still looked pretty good, but I think this is the kind of the reason that they were hesitant to extend him, even though this is the last year of his deal. He can only be so good for so many snaps, and there isn't a ton of depth behind him on the defensive line. And it's, we thought we had better depth on the defensive line, and it's just not showing up. Tufele, I think, made like one or two plays, but Tupo, you know, is always hit or miss. Nobody's getting any pass rush, BJ Hill or Zach Carter. And then on to the ugly. I mean, 25 yard plus plays allowed, the big run on the fake reverse to Rondale Moore, a couple deep passes, and a lot of missed tackles. Wilson should have had another interception. The ball was right in his hands, but there's a reason that he's playing linebacker and not tight end. He makes those plays. I mean, he's got 9 career interceptions, so I'm not really too upset that he wasn't able to snag that one, because he's got a history of them. But all in all, again, a mixed bag effort on defense. I think there's stuff to build on. And again, going to DJ Turner, Juan Drago, he looks a lot like what we got from Cam Taylor-Britt last year. A guy that's made some mistakes, stuff that you're going to see from a rookie. And again, he's a second round pick. This isn't like Christian Gonzalez coming in as a top of the draft corner. But you see the athletic ability. There was a play that they threw and I can't remember if it was a screen or a quick, what kind of a route it was, but just a really quick route and to Rondale Moore, and he absolutely stoned him, stood him up and took him down in the open field on, I believe it was a third down. But again, you see someone that's able to stick their nose in and tackle that way. Again, stuff that you saw from Cam Taylor-Britt last year, someone that's just physical and going to absolutely just, you know, give everything they have. Again, struggling as a team with the missed tackles, but I love seeing cornerbacks stick their nose in there. Anything else on the negative side that you can think about on the offense?
I'm on the offense or on the defense?
Defense. Sorry.
Okay. Defense. I mean, you talked about it. The missed tackles were killer. You know, it seems trick plays are just the vein of us, whether it be. Yeah. That trick play by Rondale Moore, or, you know, we're letting Derrick Henry throw passes to former Bearcats and just letting him be wide open. I still can't forget that play. But yeah, that seems to be the vein of our existence. And honestly, our run defense, it has been very good in the past couple of years. This year, I don't know what has happened, if it's really just that Von Bell and Jesse Bates were that important, or like what's going on here, because we have basically the same guys aside from those two and Eli Apple. So what's really the big issue here? Why are we giving up so many big runs and just letting them, all right, we're going to hand it to a running back and he's going to get like 6-7 yards a pop, is what it seems like. We're not able to stop him like they're able to stop Mixon for 1-2 yards most of the time. You know, that's like my biggest thing. That, and then, you know, it's because of the missed tackles that this is happening. So
a lot of it is it's the front seven. I mean, your run defense starts with the front seven. So it's not having Von Bell. It's not having Jesse Bates. Those guys are the guys that are stopping the 7-yard runs that from coming 12-yard runs. Teams have realized how much over-pursuing that the Bengals are doing. That's why you're seeing these trick plays and the reverses. That's why you saw the play last week by Tyjae Spears where he fumbles the ball. He's running to the left, fumbles it, recovers it, absolute switches, you know, changes field, runs around the right end, picks up 22 yards because they're over-pursuing. They're not being disciplined in their with their responsibilities. And I don't know if that's a matter of just not practicing well or bad. I mean, you can't imagine that they're coaching them to over pursue or anything like that. I mean, that's kind of silly, but these are veterans. I mean, especially the linebackers, you've got Jermaine Pratt in his 5th year, Logan Wilson in his 4th year. They played together this entire time. Trey Henderson's not a great run stopper. You see a lot of running plays going to his side of the field, the offensive left. they're going to run away from Sam Hubbard. Sam Hubbard's still stout in the run game. He made a couple stops. If they can get that figured out, I think the long pass plays are going to get snuffed out, because you're not going to be able to work off play action if you're not able to, you know, if they're not able to run for 6, 7, 8 yards or pop a huge 20-30 yard chunk play on the ground. It's going to have effect, on both sides of moving the football. But right now it's frustrating. Again, I'm a lot better. I mean, this is a victory drink here. It's fall, so I've got a nice spiced rum and apple cider. Yesterday I rocked it. It was warmed it up. We had a little fall festival out here in Deer Park, and I had a hot one. This is cold, but it's still golden. A victory drink is a hell of a lot better than a cry some tears in your beers drink. But
yeah, then all right, we're mailing it in for Marvin drink. Yeah. Like we talked about last week.
That's still one of the best. The mail it in for mail it in for Marvin. That was fantastic.
It sure was. One last thing I wanted to add about the defense today. I'm mainly okay with some of the jump plays they're giving up through the air, because that's going to happen, and the hope is that they lessen over time because of how young our defense is as far as corners and safeties go. You know, I sort of understand those are going to happen. It's just, like you were talking about, the veterans. The front seven just making mistakes and over-pursuing and all of that. And you would hope if they did it for like one game, they can sort of, they're old enough that they should know to course correct. But here we are, game 5, and we're still talking about the same mistakes being made. So,
yeah, it's frustrating because it's not an issue of guys being in and out of the lineup, too. It's not like they've had a lot of injuries in the front seven. I think the only...
No.
They've had Joe Osai, and I think Cam Sample might have missed a game or something. But I mean, guys that are depth pieces,
Davis Gaither,
that have been out. What's that?
Davis Gaither.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a sub package and a special teams guy.
Yeah.
Haven't really gotten in real quick here looking at the stats here, but I didn't really get much into special teams. And I'll touch that here in a second. But I mean, Bengals offense put up 380 yards, threw for over 300, like we showed on the Joe Burrow slide. Obviously had 3 sacks that can't have. Offensive line is still a problem. The interior of the offensive line is just awful. But Orlando Brown got absolutely roasted on a speed rush. It's frustrating, but they still put up almost 400 yards of offense. Held the Cardinals for less than 300, because again, with the turnovers. The time of possession, Bengals had it almost 2-1 over them. Again, nice change of pace over what it's been. When the Bengals are just going 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, and then other teams are just having these long, protracted drives. Turnovers, again, Bengals had just the one interception on Joe Burrow pass that wasn't a bad pass. There was one that he threw that should have been an interception to Tyler Boyd on a sideline route. I don't know if Burrow was supposed to put it on his back shoulder, and that's where Boyd was expecting it, or Boyd was supposed to stop his route or cut in, but the one he did throw wasn't his fault, is the one where Irwin slipped. Cardinals had the 4, I don't know, how many to count, 4 turnovers. There was 2 interceptions. One was on third down or fourth down when Pratt should have just let the ball go and ended up making a nice diving pick and then laying down his shoulder and hurt himself. Luckily, he came right back in, but they also cost themselves 20 yards of field position. Cam Taylor-Britt picked 6. The fumble on the strip sack by Trey Hendrickson, and then another turnover on downs. You win all 3 of those margins, you're not going to lose the game if you win all of those stats. So, I do got a question here for you from our buddy James Urban, one of our patrons, one of our buddies on Slack. How do you guys feel about Zach Taylor's coaching so far this year? I'll let you take this one because I've got thoughts.
My thoughts have been, it's not been great. Thankfully, today it looked a lot better just because of the fact that Burrow could throw it downfield, and we had those shot plays that we were dearly missing at the beginning of the season. But there are just so many plays that are just like, let's run it up the gut for two. And those are just rhythmic at this point and just sort of a waste of time to me. And yeah, I don't think he's great play calling. Still hasn't been great. Like we talked about last week, he's a very good motivator of men. I mean, he's a very good coach in that aspect. I mean, he got Kwame Lassiter in there for his first career catch when he was elevated, and it's against the team his dad played for. So I thought that was cool, but overall, play calling wise, no, I'm not here for it. I liked it when it was like the first couple years of him here, and especially like the first year we had with Joe and him and Jamar, but at this point, I'm tired of it.
Yeah, the series that they had, again, in the they had the ball first and goal from the 10, and this was about the half drive was started about halfway through the second quarter. First play, they run the ball to Mixon, pick up 6 yards. Okay, cool. I wouldn't do that because this team is just so inconsistent and just inefficient running the ball. But okay, you pick up 6 yards. I'm happy with that. And so it's now second and goal from the 4. And time isn't an issue. This is right, you know, right around the 2-minute warning in Arizona, spending timeouts to try to conserve time to get the ball at the end. Second and goal from the 4. They run the ball to the 1. Okay, I would throw the ball because that's what they're much better at. And Mixon can't make anybody miss because his feet are like cement. If he's got to stop his feet, he's gone. But again, third and goal from the 1. That's okay. You're right on the doorstep. I'd rather throw it, but fine, whatever. Third and goal from the 1. Hand the ball off again up the middle, and he gets stoned at the 1. Why are we still doing this? It's still not working, especially up the middle, because the interior of the offensive line can't get any push. Fourth and goal from the 1. Awesome. Happy as hell that they went for it. Like, this is one thing that I've been so annoyed and frustrated with Zach Taylor is his balls have absolutely just shriveled up, and like, he's lost them. He's punting anytime that there's any questionable, anytime in between the 40s, he's punting when he's got an iron leg field goal kicker and he's got one of the best processing quarterbacks of the past 20 years, at the very least, you know, under center. And again, third and goal in the 1, their step. Fourth and goal, go for it. Awesome. Run up the middle again. And he gets stuffed. He got close, but no, it was clearly stuffed. And luckily that didn't bite us in the ass because, again, 2 plays later, they turn around and Arizona has the ball at the half-yard line and try to just kind of sneak up the middle to pick up a couple yards. And they got, what, a half-yard? Second play is a pick 6 to Cam Taylor-Britt. But it's just one of the, like, I think Zach Taylor should give up play calling. There are a couple moves I think that I would like to see the Bengals front office make, but this is still the slow-moving decision makers, you know, that are loyal. I'd like to see him take play calling duties away from Zach Taylor. Give him to Brian Callahan. Just, you're the head coach, man. Worry about the whole game. And also, Frank Pollock needs to get fired. Maybe it's not his fault. Maybe it's all because of they do a piss poor job of identifying offensive line players in the draft and in free agency, but it's not working. Duke Tobin isn't going to fire himself because he can't draft offensive linemen, and Steven Radicevich and Mike Potts aren't going to fire themselves because, you know, they drafted Cordo Volson and didn't draft anyone else besides him, to try to challenge him for a spot, but it's not working. They have the fifth highest cap amounts spent on the offensive line of any team in the NFL. They're nowhere near the fifth best performing. I mean, they're bottom 5. I think pass protection, by and large, looked a lot better this week. But that's also because Arizona has one guy who can rush the passer, and they still got 3 sacks. So it's still frustrating. And yeah, Dave's right here. Arizona might be one of the worst teams in the record. But yeah, I mean, they're not trying to. I mean, everyone says, oh, they should tank. Nobody's going to tank. And they're out there busting their ass. I mean, Joshua Dobbs is not a good quarterback. He's not a starter-level quarterback. but he's going to stand in there and, you know, he's going to try to make plays. I mean, he made a couple really, really nice throws. He's limited because of his decision-making ability, but again, they're out there trying to bust in their ass. Like I have, you know, I'm not going to say that this win is counted for less because they only played Arizona. So again,
absolutely. It's a win. And if it was different, you know, if we were, you know, let's say 4-1 or, you know, 3-2, maybe it'd be different. It'd be a whole lot different, and I'd be okay with doing that. But since we're having to scrap and fight our way for wins, I can't feel comfortable saying, well, you know, we beat Arizona. It's Arizona. I mean, they're playing for paychecks out there. They're playing for their careers. You know, that's definitely what Dobbs is doing. He's holding on to being a quarterback in this league however he can, but
I mean, this isn't college where you worry about style points and you got to apologize for only beating a crappy team by, you know, one or two scores. Again, I mean, absolutely happy as hell the Bengals were able to look as good as they did on offense. Still some things to iron out. Again, I mean, the run game is just terribly inefficient. We'll bring it back up here. Joe Mixon ran the ball 25 times. Everyone was all crying, Mixon needs to run the ball more. 3.24 yards per carry. That's awful. Like, that is not good. And it's the problem with some of it's the problem with the offensive line. A lot of it's the problem is he just isn't able to break tackles. He can hit the hole. If there's a hole, he's going to hit it 150 miles an hour and pick up 7, 8, 9, 10 yards. But if he's got to move, if he's got to stop his feet, then he's dead in his tracks. There was a couple plays, a pass play that Burrow floated to Mixon, had some open space, but he stopped his feet, kind of stutter-stepped, and picked up only a handful when there was enough for a first down and more. Travion Williams is not the guy. He's looked awful. Chris Evans, I think the team hates him for whatever reason. Chase Brown only got the ball a couple times. Or he was only in on a couple plays. I mean, so they need to answer the question. I was hoping Chase Brown would look like a guy, and hopefully by the end of the season, he's taking snaps away from Mixon down the stretch. But you can't say that right now. Again, we're 5 games in. I mean, almost a third of the way through the season. What do they do with, you know, with the running game? Where do you think they go?
I mean, they have to draft someone next year, you would hope, or if it's this year we're talking about, I mean, they have to sign someone externally. Sign someone externally, trade for someone. Because I don't think anyone that they currently have is the answer. Because if Chase Brown was supposed to be the guy, he'd have more than, what, like 10, 15 snaps through 5 games, if that. And I mean, I can sort of get behind why they don't like Chris Evans. He went to Michigan. But
I mean, anybody in the Big 16, whatever the hell you want to call them, they can all go pound sand. But
yeah,
I'm not an OHNO fan.
No, me neither. Definitely a Bearcats fan, but that's been rough this year. But that's another day.
Do you feel better about the Oklahoma loss? Because I mean, plays with it. They could beat Oklahoma, and Oklahoma just beat Texas. So, I mean, you see that there's talent there. Again, I know we're talking Bearcats when Bearcats were off this week and we're not a Bearcats podcast, but
yeah,
I do feel better and vindicated. Like, these guys should be – like, there's a question here. There's another timeline with these same players. They're 5-0. So, now they're 2-3 and have to play – you know, have to beat a not-so-good Iowa State next week to – remain relevant for a bowl, but that's neither here nor there.
I mean, I do have to say, I feel a lot better about it, you know, given that Oklahoma is actually good, and I didn't think they were going to be after how they were in Brent Venables' first year. So,
Yeah, Dave Hurst makes a good point. Looking up at first place Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's in first place. That's weird. That is a terrible offense. They were one of the few offenses that you could compare with the Bengals and say, you know, and be like, well, this, yeah, they're pretty bad. I mean, Kenny Pickett is not a good quarterback. Unless he magically half, you know, in the middle of his second season looks like a guy. There's a reason he was the only first round pick at quarterback last year, and he really shouldn't even have been that. He's just lacking in a lot of ability. Weird year for the division. I still think it's one of the toughest. Bengals still, you know, I have 4 games left in the division, and I'm worried about each and every one of them since they're already 0-2. But it's been a weird year. Bills law. I mean, look, Bills should have won. You know, I look. The Bills already look at the Chiefs. There's a lot of teams like, who's really good this year? Eagles are good. 49ers are good. And you know the Chiefs are going to be there. You know the Bills are probably going to be there. But I mean, they're not looking great like you think they would have. Like they haven't had tough schedules and they've lost games. Nobody in our division in the North is really running away. Obviously, every team in the West sucks besides Kansas City, so that gives them 6 easy, you know, should give them 6 easy wins because, you know, the Chargers are going to find a way to piss the bed when they, you know, when they've got to face a must-win game or anything like that. There's a lot of good teams. I don't think there's any great teams on the AFC side of things. So, again, they just – Bengals need to stay relevant. They need to win next week. It's not – I don't think it's as must-win as this game was. Seahawks had 11 sacks last week, which is terrifying when you look at the Bengals offensive line, but they only had 5 sacks in the first 3 weeks. So I think last week is a hell of an anomaly. I'm not like, they've got talented wide receivers, and Geno Smith is, you know, he's having another, you know, pretty decent looking year, but this game being in Cincinnati, I'm confident that they can and should and will win. Especially, this is, you know, if this is Joe Burrow again, you hope, you know, you figure T. Higgins is probably going to be back. You hope Cheeto's back is loosened up enough so that he can make it back. So we should see. I feel a lot better today than I did last Sunday. I expected a win. I didn't think the offense was going to be able to explode for as much as they did, but still happy, you know, again, victory drink is better than tears in my beers.
Absolutely.
Before we get out of here, we will wrap up here and let everyone get on with their Sunday nights. Again, everyone should be tuning in 20 minutes for Tim and Ben. Any final words, any final thoughts before we skedaddle for the night?
Final thoughts. I thought Joe Burrow looked a whole lot better and, you know, is giving me hope for the rest of the season. We don't have to worry about mailing it in for Marvin, at least as of right now. You know, we'll see how we do against Seattle next week. Thankful that game is at home and I don't have to wait for a 4 p.m. game, and hope the Bearcats beat the Cyclones.
Yeah. 4 p.m. games are awful. The only problem, yeah, winning is really nice. We should do it more often. I completely agree.
Yeah.
We've gotten spoiled that we're expecting teams to win 12 games when there have been 3-4 year stretches when winning 12 games would be a question. But again, it's, you know, we'll see how the rest of the season, you know, how the rest of the season unfolds. Hope, you know, we hear more good things tomorrow about, you know, no soreness. Lake's still feeling great today. Again, he moved around and looked almost like healthy Joe Burrow, but, you know, remains to be seen. Hopefully, again, to get through next week, get the bye week, and it's a thing of the past. I'm, you know, not confident of that, but it would be awesome to see. But again, hoo day to everybody. Before we get out of here, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/riverfrontcincy. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Again, you're only seeing us on YouTube right now, so if you're watching us and you're not subscribed, what the hell are you doing? You can get notifications if you want to. I turn all those off because they're really, really annoying. I know you're supposed to say turn on notifications, but I don't need to see all, like, you know, when we're on. We're on every, you know, usually Thursday morning, sometime Friday morning in your podcast and YouTube feed, and then we're live after the games at 8 o'clock. So you guys know where to find us. Again, join the family, patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. So many cool benefits. Best of which, in my opinion, is gain access to our Slack channel. Slack channel is basically Twitter, but for just a bunch of us idiots and without all of the awful ads and Elon and crap like that. We've got channels. We talk everything. We talk obviously primarily the Reds. We've got Bengals, college football. We talk basketball. We talk that other football. It's just a whole hell of a lot of fun. Only a couple bucks a month for the lowest level. Come join the family. It's worth your while. I will pay for it. No, I'm not going to pay for you. I'm not that rich to be able to do all that stuff. So, again, we will see y'all on our regular time on probably Thursday morning. Pretty sure they escaped without any injuries this week. We'll let you know if anything pops up. Outside of that, Hootay, 2-3 is a lot better than 1-4. And we will see y'all later on this week.